Well, this is the second week of a series that I want to bring to you, Growing in Greatness. I believe that God has greatness in every single one of us. You were born with greatness in you. You were born with abilities in you that no one else has. And sometimes we get discouraged because we don't get to the place that we want to get as quickly or as easily as what we like to. We face problems, situations, and we continue to do that today. But there is a growing in greatness. There's a growing in God's favor and His plan in our life that's a process. There's a process in growing. There's a process when we're born to where we are today. Amen? There was a process to get us from that moment to this moment. And so also there is in the spirit man, there's a process that God brings us to in order to fulfill that greatness, but it can only be done through the power of God. So last week we talked about Noah. This week we're going to bring out another character these next few weeks of ordinary people in the Word of God that they followed God, just like what Miss Carolyn said. They followed God, they were obedient to God, and they saw God's greatness in and through them that could not have been done without the power of God in their life. As we read in our focus scripture of 2 Corinthians 4:7, then we'll begin. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you encourage us today to draw closer to you. You're our source, you're our strength, you're our present, you're our future. And thank you, Lord, that you encourage every heart today, God, to press in, to do the things that you've called us to do. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said, amen. Many years ago, there was a young man that I knew, a little younger than myself, and was just watched him grow up, and his talents just blossomed. He became very, very good at what he did. Excellent. It was just a natural gift that God gave him. And as the years progressed, he got a little older. He had a choice to either pursue that avenue for the glory of God or pursue that avenue in another direction that wasn't necessarily, was clearly not God's plan. And I watched him venture into the other side and to go that way. And there's the talents are there, but the greatness that God wants to bring through us must be done by His anointing and by His provision. We can only do so much in our own strength, but we can do all things in the strength of God. And so we see that all around us. We see that I'm standing here too, and I can tell you that there's been some things in my life that I thought, well, God, I'll handle this, and I'll take this, and you can tend to somebody else that needs you more than I need you. I can do this on my own. And lo and behold, God would show me that that was not His plan. God wants to fulfill greatness in our life and to cause us to do greater things than what we can possibly do, but it has to be done through the power of God. It has to be done through His strength. And today I'm going to talk about these next few moments, a man that was very much human. He did some great things, and he did some things that were not so great. When we look at the life of David, we saw that David had God's heart. God loved David. But we can see that David did great things when he was led by God, and he did some things that weren't so great, mess-ups, things that I'm sure that he regretted by his own strength and by his own abilities. And so even though David made some mistakes, we see as we read through the story of David, we're not going to take in the whole story today, but even in spite of the things that he did wrong, his heart was for God, and he became king of Israel. He became so high and so anointed by God that God was with him and God led him to that place. David had to come to the place that he knew that it was only through the power of God. And so Saul became the first king of Israel. Saul was there, and Saul was not God's pick for the king of Israel. We know that Saul did not follow God's instruction, that he was not God's, he didn't meet God's approval. But Samuel was sent by God to tell Saul, "Saul, you are not God's pick for this country." God also led Prophet Samuel to go to David when David was young and David was eager and passionate. God led Samuel to David to tell him that he was going to be anointed the next king of Israel. Now, can you imagine God would come to you directly or through a prophet of God and to tell you that your plans for your life were much bigger than you are, much bigger than what you ever imagined or thought? I feel like there were things in David's heart that he felt like he could do and accomplish, but to be the next king of Israel, maybe we think, well, why did God tell David that prematurely? Maybe that messed David up. I believe that sometimes God reveals things in our life, that things to come and blessings to come, so that it'll keep us on track and keep us focused on where we're going. Sometimes a little incentive is good. And I believe that the incentive that God placed in David's life to tell him that he would be anointed the next king of Israel, it could have taken on one of two scenes. It could have taken on the scene that it did. It fueled David's fire. It fueled him to pursue God and to seek God because he knew that, wow, there's great things God has planned for me, which is what you need to know today. Or it could have said, well, you know what? I am God's pick for the next king of Israel. I am so wonderful that God has picked me. And so I'm going to go ahead and let everybody know, let Saul know that I'm the next guy in line. I'm going to be the next king, just so you know that I'm real special to God. So it could have taken on an arrogant viewpoint as well. God knew what effect it would have on David, I believe. God knows what effect it'll have on us, what he does reveal and what he doesn't reveal. Sometimes we say, well, God, if you just lay out the plan for me, I'll know where we're going. And then I can tailor my actions based on what you tell me I'm doing. But that's many times, most times, not the way God works. He calls us to be people of faith, to trust him and to seek him, which is what we teach every single Sunday, what the Word of God teaches us to do. Focus on him, learn after him, seek him, and trust him that he has great plans for us. Where we get off track is where we think, well, this isn't going anywhere, and it's certainly not going as fast as I'd like for it to, so I'm going to take this other track, and I'm going to do what I want to do and see if I can make things happen a little quicker for me. And so God knew what he was doing. I believe that there's some things out of this story today that we can learn, and I pray will be an encouragement to you. Saul actually hired David to play music for him. David was talented, and Saul hired David and said, "Here, play some music for me." And so Saul loved David. Saul liked David. He was great friends with David at first, but then he began to see David and see the favor on his life, that people loved him, that God loved him so much that Saul became jealous of David. Saul became threatened by David. But David, even through all of this, had to maintain honor and respect for the authority in Saul's life. Believe it or not, God put Saul in David's life for a reason. So, well, wouldn't it have been a lot easier had Saul not been there? David could have just walked right through, saved a lot of pain, a lot of trouble. We get so focused on the pain and the trouble that we forget where God's trying to take us to. Maybe there's a purpose. Maybe there's a reason for the Sauls in our life. And so David had to learn to honor the leadership, honor the authority that God had placed in Saul's life. And so David began a training process. Now, this training process wasn't elaborate. It wasn't an Ivy League school. It wasn't a Fortune 500 company. It was the nitty-gritty OJT, on-job training. And sometimes that's the best type training. Sometimes you can spend 4 to 6 to 8 years in college and get degrees and then get on the job and not know one knob from the other. You have no clue. And so you have to start that on-the-job process. Now, I'm not saying anything against degrees. I believe they're great. There are basics and there are principles in maybe your particular area that is needed and necessary in order to be able to put together the OJT along with the principles of the book knowledge, too. There's purpose for that. So, but David, God knew that there was something that David needed to learn the hard way, which fits most of us, right? I mean, there are a few of you that aren't quite as hard-headed as some of others of us, but sometimes OJT, just some real good, dirty brass tacks learning is sometimes the best. We don't forget it, that's for sure. And God knew that David was willing to learn. God knew that David wanted to learn. And so God is the originator of authority. Satan is the originator of rebellion. And sometimes we get confused about authorities that are around us if they're not lining up with the word of God. And Saul didn't honor God, and God sent word to Saul that he didn't honor God. But there's a scripture in Romans 13, 1 and 2. It says this: let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Isn't that something? Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So David went through this testing process and had to honor the authority that God had placed in his life, even when it was ungodly authority. It was ungodly authority. But yet David was to learn something through the testing, through this process of submitting to authority. And so we'll see that David, first of all, learned to stay humble. In his process of learning how to have God fulfill the greatness in his life, he had to first learn how to be humble. David could have got arrogant. He could have said, well, you know what? I'm God's pick. I'm talented. I'm loved by God. I'm favored by God. And so I am God's pick. But David had to stay humble. Unless we stay humble, we cannot fulfill greatness. In order to fulfill the greatness that God has for our lives, we must stay humble before God. Being humble is a very important part of our walk and fulfilling of God's call in our life. God's great plan doesn't mean that we don't have anything else to learn. That doesn't mean that we've arrived. God has picked you today, in case you don't know. God has a calling on your life. But what that means is there's more for us to learn in order to fulfill the greatness that God has in our life. We'll never get to the place to where we can say, well, I know everything there is to know. I went through all the OJTs, through all the schools of training. I've got it together. God's picked me. And so now I'm at a place to where I can really do what God wants me to do. Well, what God wants us to do is to continue to learn from Him, continue to stay humble before Him, to know that we can't do anything today or tomorrow or the next day without the power and the presence and the favor of God in our life. There are great things for us to do, but we can't do that without God's plan, without His hand on our life. And David knew that God had big plans. It was already told to David. God has big plans for you. Miss Carolyn, you had no idea what I was going to say this morning. God has big plans for you. And so in order to fulfill those plans, we've got to stay close to God, and we've got to stay humble before God. One thing about it, if nothing else will keep you humble, being under authority and under ungodly authority will keep you humble. Was that possibly what brought David to the place to where he sought God more, being in that place of being under Saul's authority for that time? Possibly. There was a reason for that. There's a reason for the things that are rubbing you the wrong way today. There's a reason for the things that you're dealing with in your life. We don't like it. I don't like it. I'm not going to get up tomorrow morning and say, I cannot wait for somebody to rub me the wrong way today. I can't wait to for somebody to get in an argument with me. I'm so excited. We don't look for that. We don't press for that. We want to say that, wake up tomorrow morning and say, thank you, God, this is a great day, and I thank you that it's going to be a great, easy, wonderful, fulfilling day. But when those things come in my life, God sees something that He needs to take the edge off something. He's going to cause something or allow something to rub me sometimes the wrong way, to anger me, just because he said, Mike, you need a little bit of correction right here. You've got a little burr hanging out there. We're going to just take that right off. And that is not fun. It doesn't feel good. And so God knew that David was going through this process of greatness. There's a process of that. Well, how long is this process, Mike? I have no clue. For some, it may be this number. For others, maybe this number. I'll tell you this, that in my mid-20s, early to mid-20s, Crystal can tell you that as I was 18 years old, we were talking to somebody yesterday, and the lady was asking about how long we're married, and Crystal said, we've been married 36 years. He was 18 and I was 20. She said, wow, you never hear that. And I said, yeah, we raised each other. And we did. We raised each other. But in my mid-20s, I felt the calling of God on my life. And at that time, it's like, okay, I'm going to drop everything. Honey, we're going to sell it all. We're going to move to somewhere. I'm going to make a few phone calls. You've heard me tell the story. God, I'm ready to do this. You called me, so let's do it. What time are we going to leave tomorrow morning? And so from my mid-20s to I feel like I'm walking in a place right now these last almost 12 years that God was preparing me for in my 20s. You see the process? About 20 years worth. I'll be 55 soon. And you say, well, why did it take you so long? That's my point exactly. Sometimes it takes time. It's a process. We have to trust God that he's doing something bigger than what we are. If we were called to do our work, it would be simple because we'd know what we're doing. And we'd have our max. We'd know, okay, I can work within these boundaries, and that's my limit, and that's where it's set. And so that's it. Okay, well, I've done all I can do. But God says, no, I've called you to do greater things than that, but the key to it is you've got to do it by my strength and my power, and you've got to trust me to bring it about in your life. And so when we submit to that, now I'm getting a little ahead of myself, when we submit to that, we see that God will do greater things than what we ever imagined he would do. So here it is. Now, when I was 43 years old, we came here. So from the calling, I felt like God spoke to me when I was 15 years old at an altar in a church. I was raised in church, 15 years old. I felt God spoke to me by my mid-20s. I was ready to go. And I thought, well, God, I've paid long enough. It's been about 10-ish years. And so he said, no, you got about 20 more years to go. If he had told me that, can you imagine my reaction? He didn't tell me. Some things he tells us and some things he doesn't. So David appeals to King Saul for his permission and blessing. So David knew that he was ready to take on Goliath. He knew that he was ready to do some great things. And so David, in order to honor the authority over him, he needed to get Saul's permission to do what he wanted to do. So that's the good thing about what David learned, and I believe that we can learn, is by staying humble, is that we need to seek God's blessing. Has anybody ever, y'all probably haven't, just humor me, has anybody ever done something before you prayed about it? I told you that wasn't any of you. Oh, okay, there was one hand. Thank you for the honesty. We do it, and then we say, God, will you bless this thing I've done here? And it's usually right when it's about to go south. It's just about to go in a tailspin. God, can you please bless this? So 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32 says, then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant, that's me, David says, your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able. You're not able to go fight, to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant, here we go, let me convince you, Saul. Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, and what he was telling was the truth, it was truthful, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth, and when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard, struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. David was ready. He was on the line. He was just waiting for the flag. And Saul didn't give it to him. David thought he was ready. There was a process that God was doing in David's life. He had to stay humble. See, opposition has the ability to cause you to grow and to make you stronger. Opposition has the ability to make you grow and to make you stronger. Had David went out to fight Goliath anyway, well, who needs Saul? Who needs his permission? Who needs his blessing? I'm going to go fight him anyway. Had David taken on that mentality and went out to fight Goliath anyway, David would have been killed because he did not go with the blessing of God. It's not a matter of what our physical strength is. It's not a matter of how long we've prepared to do what we think we should be doing. It's a matter of doing it, staying humble before God and waiting on his timing to do what he's called you to do. Stay humble. Stay humble. Too many times we want God's blessings after we've already made the move. Sometimes in his gracious and his love, he'll say, okay, okay, okay. And other times, he'll say, you made the move, you're going to deal it. You're going to take it. And I'm going to be here to protect you, but you're going to have to walk this thing through. And I've been on both sides. And I've learned that it's a lot better to take God at his word and in his timing. The Bible says to seek God first. Seek God first. See, God wants to do plans in our life, but we've got to seek God first. The timing may not be right. We don't know the entire picture. David certainly didn't know the entire picture. When we go against God's direction and against his timing, there's one word for that. It's called pride. Pride. Check your motives. Is it for your gain or is it for God's glory? Are your motives for your gain or for God's glory? Humility. Secondly, submit to God. David learned to submit to God. Why? Because God knows everything. And you know what? God loves you. God's not behind your back working against you. You say, I wonder if I do this, if it'll make him fall flat of his face. That would be fun to see that happen. No, God's not trying to manipulate things to cause you to fall. He's trying to set you up so that you will prosper in all of your ways. He's a good father. He's a good father. And why would he give the life of Jesus Christ, his son, if he didn't want you to succeed in everything that you set your hands to? He wants you to be prosperous in everything you do. You'll enjoy the benefits, but he'll get the glory. If it's ever outside of that in any way, then it's for the wrong motives. We've got to submit to God, submit to his authority. Now, I understand there's abusive authority. We see that all around us, too. We see there's abusive authority. We see that Saul was not the authority that God would have placed there, but Saul was the authority that was placed there. And so there's a level of honor and respect that we submit to God first. We submit to God even when we're in ungodly authority. We submit to God first. Now, we don't set God aside and say, okay, God, you told me to submit to this authority. It's going to go against 9 of those 10 commandments that I'm going to submit. That God didn't call us to do that. We're told to submit to God, and he'll take care of this authority thing. He took care of it here. We've got to trust that he'll take care of it when there's authority being abused. That's God's issue. Thank God that's not my issue. That doesn't mean that we don't pray for authority. That doesn't mean that we don't cover our local and our state and our federal, national, worldwide leaders. We need to cover them all in prayer. God knows we need to cover them all in prayer. They need God's voice in their life. They need to hear God's voice in their life. And those that aren't, I pray that they'll unplug their ears and hear the voice of God. So that should be our prayer. But we must submit to God. We must honor God. 1 Samuel 19, verses 9 through 11 says, "Now the distressing spirit from the Lord came upon Saul, as he sat in his house with a spear in his hand. Saul was sitting there with a spear in his hand. And David was playing music with his hand. Then Saul sought to pin David to the wall with a spear. Now, if your boss man comes at you with a spear as you're doing your job, I would encourage you to send out resumes. That's not where you need to stay. So David sit there playing music. I could see he had a smile on his face, and all of a sudden Saul comes with a spear, and he slipped away from Saul's presence, he said, and drove the spear to the wall. So David fled and escaped. I think that's a great plan. Saul also sent messengers to David's house to watch and kill him. He was under surveillance in the morning. Saul got to the place where he hated David. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you're going to be dead. That's what it says. Saul wasn't after David's promotion. He was after David's life. He wanted to take David out. And so we see that authority that was in David's life that turned into jealousy and envy and bitterness and a cancer that was just about to take over Saul. Saul was dealing with this thing. But David continued to submit to God. Wow. David must have trusted God, you think? David must have trusted God to take care of him even in this situation. It's not many times you're sitting playing music and get a spear thrown at your head. And so David submitted to God. I remember many years ago I was called into a meeting and I didn't know this particular lady. And this lady was in authority and I knew that. And I was called into this meeting about some things that was going on, and I was there to bring some information, and when I walked in, I could see right away that she had the authority, and she knew she had the authority, and she was enjoying that authority. And so I introduced myself, we sat down, and she started pressing some buttons that I think she was trying to gouge and try to, you know, it would make her job easier had somebody flared up and said something, and then she said, well, okay, this meeting's called off. I'm going to do what I need to do here because we just couldn't work out a process of getting to the bottom of this. But I maintained, it was God, maintained my composure, and I answered her questions and was honorable to her and respected her and went against everything that she expected and wanted me to do. And the meeting and the meeting was over. Matter of fact, it wasn't long ago that we saw this lady out in a restaurant, and she was, "Hey, Mike, how you doing? Great. How are you doing? Very nice." But a lot of times we can take the spear out of the devil's hands just by representing God and who God is. We don't condone it. We don't think that it's the right thing to do, but God many times will cause us to have an attitude of love and a heart for people, have a compassion maybe for people that have another intention, but God can take that right out of their hand by your attitude toward them in love and in passion, representing God. So there's abuse of authority. 1 Peter 2:13-19 says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. I didn't say it. It says it right here. But I love that. Put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, as yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable. If because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. And so we're to submit to God and allow God, as I said a while ago, allow God to deal with that thing. There again, I'm talking about growing in the greatness that God has put in your life. It doesn't matter, as we saw last week in the story of Noah, it doesn't matter how old you are. God still has a purpose for your life. If Noah can build a boat at 600 years old, just saying, submit to God. Number 3, wait on God. Wait on God's timing. Well, what about now? This looks like a great opportunity to do this. This looks really good. Wait on God. Why do I have to wait? Because God's doing something. You don't see everything that God is doing. God can do more in one day than we can do in a lifetime, but we've got to wait on Him to do it. The preschool, as we started it, and it's, thank God for the preschool, because it's touching children and families in the north end of the island that they had nowhere to go. And we had that heart many years ago. And it was about an 8-year process from the day that we started the process. Some of you have been here all that time, and you don't have to admit it, but some of you thought, what is he thinking? It's never going to happen. But you know what? In God's timing, it happened. Some 8 years later, in the process of blah, 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 jump over this, run through that. I mean, so all these things had to be done. What was God doing? I don't know all that God was doing, but God was working. We've got to wait on God. God's doing some things in your life right now that you'd like to see it happen by 7:30 tomorrow morning. Wait on God. Wait on God. When we feel like God is lagging behind, God, you evidently are tied up with something else. So I'm going to go ahead and take the lead here and get this done. You can't rush growth. You can't rush maturity. When you do, you're going to cause chaos. God can do it when He wants to do it. Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Sometimes we're so tired because we're doing stuff that we're not supposed to be doing. Sometimes we're tired because we're doing all the things that God is supposed to be doing. Thank God I'm not called, nor are you called, to do God's job. Doing my job is enough. I'm not going to try to do, there was a time I might want to try it. I'm not going to do my job and God's job too. Thank God He can do His job well. I don't have to ask why or when or what color. But the Lord shall renew our strength as we wait on Him, the Bible says. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We can do more operating in our own lane than what we can do operating in this big six lane. Stay in our lane. Stay in the lane that God's called you to and let God handle the rest. You know what? You'll feel rested. You'll feel at peace. You'll be happy. You'll be joyful. And plus, it's going to get done. What more could you ask for? That's the deal. That's the plan. Wait on God. Stay diligent in what you've done. I remember it was a few years that we were part of the Christian Church, and I don't know why I'm telling you these stories, but there's obviously a reason. Before coming here in January 1st, 2010, there were years prior to that that I knew in my heart we were getting closer. You know, we've had a business for about 31 years, and so that was, I was not looking for a career. I was not looking for a way to, I wasn't looking for a profession. I was just following after God's heart. So after 31 years of doing what we were doing, we were involved in our sister church in Brunswick for about 14 years, raised our 2 children in that church. But those last few years leading up to January 1st, 2010, there was a boiling in me. There was a sleepless nights. There was anxiety. There was excitement. There was scared half to death. There was fearful. There was, I'm ready to get this done. So all these emotions, put it in a big pot and stir it, and that's what I was feeling. But there was a place we had to come to that we said, God, we wait on you. So I met with my pastor and I told him what I was feeling. And you know what he told me to do. Keep doing what you're doing. Can you imagine the nerve of that man of God? Keep doing what you're doing. So there was the last few years before coming here that he didn't tell me to go home. He didn't say, okay, because I took leadership of the music and all that during those last few years, and the academy over there, fairly large academy, take the weekly chapel services. I work with mentored young people, learning how to sing and play. And so that's where my heart was at. God gave us the ability to be able to do that and didn't receive a penny for it all those years. Wasn't paid anything. Nor did I want to be paid. That's the furthest thing from my mind. But I did know that even as God was making measures to do something different in our life, we were supposed to stay faithful in what we were doing. Not to just stop. Some people say, well, I'm going to quit my job like I was when I was in my mid-20s. I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to quit doing everything that I'm doing right now. And I'm going to be ready so when God says to leave tomorrow morning, I'll be ready to go. So I'm going to. But God, and maybe that'll happen to some of you, but God, what God spoke to us was continue doing what you're doing, and I will direct you when the timing is right. And that's exactly what he did. Up until the very last moment, we were doing what we've been doing all those years. Yes, we were making a living, we were working hard, we were building a business, we were doing all that, but any spare time we had outside of family time, we were at that church. We were working, we were mentoring, we were teaching a weekly marriage class, had a fairly large marriage class that we were pouring into young and even old couples that came and just wanted an hour each week, hour and a half each week of Bible teaching. So we did that for quite a while. We just continued doing what we were doing, and we waited on God. 1 Samuel 24:16-20 says, "So it was when David had finished speaking those words to Saul that Saul said, 'Is this your voice, my son David?' And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Then he said to David, 'You are more righteous than I.'" This is what Saul saying to David, the one that Saul despised and hated and was jealous over. "For you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil," Saul said. "And you have shown this day how you have dealt with me. For when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you didn't kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go safely? Therefore may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now I know indeed that you shall surely be king." David didn't tell him. "You shall surely..." See, he saw the qualities in David by David's reaction to him. He continued in doing what he was doing, even though he knew he was in a very conflicting and challenging environment. "And that kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand." David waited on God. And David had God's favor and the greatness of his life poured into him. In 1 Samuel, I'm not going to read that. Just make a note of 1 Samuel 26:7-11. I need to move on. But we see there that David had another opportunity to take Saul's life, and he didn't do it. In 1 Samuel 26:7-11, David waited on God. My last point today, number 4, acknowledge God. Acknowledge God. Acknowledge that he's with you. Acknowledge that God has not left you. Acknowledge that God has not can left you stranded. See, God should be your closest confidant. Acknowledge God. God should be the one that you turn to every single day. When you get up in the morning, besides speaking to your spouse or your children, or, you know, let God be your first point of contact. Build that relationship in God that you acknowledge him, that he's in the car with you driving to work. Now, God loves loud music, I'm convinced, because when I turn it up and roll the windows down, he doesn't leave. I love what Miss Carolyn said. God must be a jazz musician. Yeah, he's that. He's every kind of musician. Because why? Because music was made out of the throne room of heaven. Not the devil's warped it a little bit. But it came from God. And so, yeah, God loves loud music. If you don't believe me, drive with me in town tomorrow morning. Let God be your closest confidant. See, Samuel loved God. God was Samuel's closest confidant. That's why when God spoke to Samuel to say, "Go to Saul," and to say this, he knew what to say. God spoke to Samuel and said, "Go to David and tell him this," he knew what to say. God spoke to David and he said, "David, say this, do this, do this." Why? Because David acknowledged God. When we acknowledge God, when we make God priority in our life, when we put Him the center of everything that we do, we just automatically fill out of that. We don't have to, and don't get this wrong, we don't have to pray for 24 hours to know what God's saying. It's because we're living in God's Word. It's part of our life. Does that make sense? Did I say that right? So that we're living in God, we acknowledge God 24/7. When times are good and easy, we acknowledge God. And when times are tough and challenging and, oh my God, those moments, we acknowledge God so we know that we can operate in that. We can have confidence in God knowing that God's with me. I acknowledge God in the good times, and I acknowledge God in the bad times. I acknowledge God when things are going well, everything's flourishing, like Elder Roth was saying. Got the ability to do everything that we need to do, come up with a snag every now and then, it's all good. But there have been times when that wasn't the case. And as we acknowledge God, we know that He's just as real then in the bad times as He is real in the good times. He's just as faithful when I'm in a corner backed against the wall as when He is when everything is going great at sunshine and no rain. Acknowledge God. Acknowledge God. Make God your best friend. Make God your very best friend. Make Him be the one that you go to. Well, God won't understand this situation. This is kind of off the wall. He understands every situation. There's not anything new under the sun. Whatever you're going through, He's done it. He's got the answer to it. It doesn't matter. He's a cool God. It doesn't matter if you're 6 years old, 16, 26, 36, 46, or 106. God's got you covered. And so our inner circle many times has an influence on our life, and our inner circle doesn't know God, and we rely on advice from an inner circle that doesn't know God, and we get off track because we've taken the advice of somebody that don't know God. So God wants you to have human friends too. Jesus had a few human friends. Jesus did. Now He spoke to thousands and thousands and thousands, but he only had a few close friends, and there was a reason for that. We've got to watch our inner circle. Don't let the person that you go to for advice not to have a relationship with God. I'm not saying they're perfect, because none of us are. There's only one Jesus. But at least they love God and know God, and the advice that they give you is from a place of knowing God rather than a place of, well, let me see, now this would make sense and that would make sense. Because there's 9 times out of 10 that what God directs us to do does not make sense. It doesn't come through an Excel spreadsheet and will not balance to what we want it to balance to. But God knows what He's doing. If you want to fulfill greatness in your life, to exceed your expectations, to do more than you ever dreamed or imagined, let God be the center point of your life. And so even David found himself with a young man that this young man said, I have killed Saul. And David refused to link up with this individual. In 1 Samuel 1:13-16 said, David said that this young man came and told him, where are you from? And he answered, I'm the son of an alien. That should be the first sign right there. Somebody comes to you and says, I'm the son of an alien. You know, just to have a good day. And so this young man came to him, David said, I'm son of an alien. So David said to him, how was it that you were not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And so Saul had died. Saul was dead, but he actually died in war, in battle. He was not killed at the hands of this son of the alien. Was that a Merle Haggard song? Son of a... So David said to him, how was it you were not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? Then David called one of the young men and said, go near and execute him. And he struck him, so he died. So David said to him, your blood is on your head, for your own mouth has testified against you, saying, I've killed the Lord's anointed. He didn't speak the word of God. And so we have to be careful. We have to be careful what we listen to. Because what we listen to can influence our actions. That doesn't mean that we're... That, I mean, if Jesus goes to a woman at the well and gives her His time, He loves her. We're to love everybody just the way that Jesus does. But to take the advice of somebody that doesn't know God, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says it well. Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits. Be careful who we get our advice, who we get our direction from. Even sometimes what I think is a good idea before running it by God, even my ideas may not align with God. I've got to go to God. Thank God I've got a wife called the Holy Spirit, and she says, when I say, honey, what do you think about this? She says, well, she's real nice about it. She don't say, what are you thinking, you dodo? She says, well, maybe what if we think about it this way? I love that. You know, she knows after 36 years how to deal with me and how not to run me away. Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. David learned to acknowledge God. Some of you need direction today. Some of you need some direction from God. And it's not that God has turned his back on you. It's not that God is not giving you an answer. He's waiting for you to get some things in line so that you can hear what he's telling you to do. See, the Bible says, greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world. And so there's a reason why God wants to be in your life. There's a reason why God wants to be the center of your life, is because that's the only way you can fulfill greatness in your life. There could possibly be a president in this room today. There could be a president watching my Facebook Live somewhere. I know we've got a pastor friend in India watching right now that he needs encouragement for his daycare and his church right now. We've been praying with him. And so there's some direction that we can receive from God today, but we've got to make sure that we put him in the right priority in our life, make him the center. And so the difficulty you face, I believe that God will use to catapult you to your greatness. God used Saul to catapult David to his greatness. If it had not been for Saul, would David have been king? Now, that's a silly thing to say, but that's the way we are as humans. Sometimes we've got to have a little bit of conflict to light that fire to where we seek God more than what we ever have. Sometimes God created it. God doesn't create confusion, but sometimes God will allow things in our life to fire us up to get that passion that we need to have to pursue the things that God has for us. And some of you need answers today. And I realize that. And I want you to allow God to speak to you these next few moments as we get ready to close. Crawford, come on up. I want you to allow God to speak to your heart. And I pray that something I've said out of God's word today will cause you to change some things. Not that we could take notes. Oh, did you see that they've changed things? No, because the only thing that matters is God taking note. God recognizing your heart for him so much that you're changing the way that you're doing things in your life so that you can fulfill the greatness that God has for you. There's great things God has for you. And some of you are right on track. Some of you are right on track. Some of you have kind of grown stagnant. You're a little scared. Some of you have got to the place to where you're questioning God. God, am I really doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Many times it's just Satan just trying to deceive you to get you off track, to have you stop what you're doing. But just know this, simply, that God is for you. God is for you, and if we listen to him and follow him and do what he says to do, we will be blessed beyond measure, blessed beyond our imagination. Stay humble, submit to God, wait on God, and acknowledge God. Let's stand together this morning. Crystal, I want you to come up here with me. We're going to enter into a time of worship, but I want to go ahead and pray with you as Crawford and the team gets ready. Pray with you that as we prepare to leave today, that you'll take this word with you in your heart. Don't let this stay in your seat. Don't say, well, that was good for today, and then leave it. I believe that if we meditate on this word today, if we meditate on what I believe God wants us to learn from David's life, this these 4 points, I believe that it can change our life. I believe that it can revolutionize our life so that it'll push us to the next level. And God has that for you. God loves you. God created you for today to do greater things than what we're currently doing. Every one of us, there's more we can do. There's more God wants us to do. Amen? Let's raise our hands to the Lord. Father, we raise our hands as a sign of surrender. We say, God, it's not my will, but it's your will. And God, I pray that everything that you desire to do in our lives today, Lord, you see us here today. Everything that you want to do in our lives, God, we will allow you to do it. God, that we will come before you and listen to you and seek your face, do just as David did. And that is to have a heart for you, to be submissive to you, to be humble before you, to follow you. And Lord, I pray that you'll cause our inner circle, those who are around us today, Lord, help us to identify anything that we need to change. Help us to identify those things that we can do. We can't control, nor do we want to, what other people do. We want to love them, but Lord, we can have control over what we can do. And Lord, I pray that today what we do will align with what your will is. Give us a heart to love. Give us a heart of passion. But Lord, as we're called according to your will and for your purpose, and that you love us, God, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And Lord, I pray that there'll be ceilings taken off spiritually today. There'll be limitations taken off because, Lord, as we refocus and as we do according to your will and according to your purpose and according to your strength, God, that we will surpass the things that we thought were goals in our life. God, may we look back in the next few days and few weeks and few months and look back and say, God, thank you that I took that step that day to make those changes in my life that I could make, and I made you the center. And now, Lord, I'm on track to do greater things than whatever I believed. I speak that over you today. I speak that over you today. Take off those limitations that you put on yourself. Take off those things and let God lead you. Let God guide you. Let God speak into you every moment of the day. Take him with you. He's with you. He'll only leave if you push him away, if you run away from him. So the Lord is with you today. I pray, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. God bless you. I love you.